thanks for the invite to give a talk. All right, yeah. So I'm going to be talking about this this paper about which the content of this paper is basically like building up the structure theory of the factorizable analog of the theory of quantum groups. And the point is to understand things like quantum vertex algebras, or from a physics point of view, I guess you should think about it as line operators in a 4D holomorphic topological QFT. So maybe I'll give a brief the first part of the talk. I'll give a brief introduction to what this is, the holomorphic analog of. All right. So the physics introduction is this. So if you have a 3D TQFT, say Phil extended, then its category of line operators is braided monoidal. Right. Moreover, if you have any boundary, you have any boundary condition of this theory, this gives you so a boundary condition gives you a fiber functor, and therefore you take endomorphisms of this thing, you get a map to A mod. And such an A, I'll make the actual definition in a second, but such A is called a quantum group. Okay. Maybe I'll just for flavor around here, for the sort of objects we're talking about, I'll just summarize some important theorems around here. So again, still working in physics. So if let's say V is some holomorphic boundary theory to T, you often expect you often expect results of the following form. You get equivalence on the categories of line operators. So you get casuistic equivalences. Okay, so this is one element of the theory of quantum groups, one important part. Another interesting area of quantum groups is by Rashkik and Tureyev, that this guy is moreover a modular tense category. And any such determines T. It's a priori, an extended TQFT is only determined by its value on a point, but in this case, it's determined by the modular tense category. Another interesting fact is that if C is braided monoidal, any object V in C gives an invariant of nulls inside S3. All right. So,
sorry, can you say more about the statement that any such determines T? I thought Kolbotov's hypothesis requires you to go all the way down to points, right?
Yeah, but this is some special factor like 3D TQFTs.
So it's 3-2-1, right? Or 3-2-1 TQFT?
Yeah. A reference for this is Tureyev's book on quantum groups, if you want to have a look.
But when you say over there, when you wrote 3D TQFT,
yes,
you meant like what would be in a TS book?
Yes, and then in this thing, this is a 3-2-1.
So what you're saying is, if you have just the 3D part, mm-hmm. you can extend that through a 3-2-1 using TMS.
Yeah, if you have a model tensor, if you're given a model tensor category, yes. Okay, and so in this, if you take Chern Simons with group G, then A will be the so-called like Drinfeld-Jimbo quantum group, which I'll talk about later. What else do you want? And these invariants, if you take W to be like the standard representation of UQ of G, then this will give you like these like colored Jones polynomials. Okay, so still working the physics. So this talk is kind of now asking the question: if T is 4D holomorphic topological QFT, so something like there's like 4D like a 4D analog of Chern-Simons studied by Kevin and others. The question is, what structure has its category? Its category of line operators, where here you've chosen S2 such that the lines are, so if sigma is the Riemann surface, the lines are sort of like transverse to the holomorphic direction. Okay, so this is like.
If it's just a good name.
Sorry?
If it's just a good name, we have a holomorphic topological situation.
People are compensating.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Raviolo. Okay. All right. Right, and so in examples, like this category will be like representations of the Gangian representations of like the affine quantum group. All right, so now I'll give like, okay, part zero, I'll just. A very brief introduction to the theory of quantum groups. And because then it'll like make more sense what I'm doing later. Right. So definition. So C, which is in general like an infinity category, is radiopinoidal if equivalently. Okay, so number one is this thing by Lurie. It extends to a functor from opens in R squared.
Isn't this language is again a proof of a natural topological holomorphic?
Sorry?
Is n rated again? Is it going to be a good definition for the natural topological or for holomorphic topological theories? Is that a different, right?
So in part zero, I'm talking about 3D TQFTs. Well, after I've done that, I'm going to be talking about like, this is, I'm going back to, I'm doing like this, but mathematically now. Whereas this is like, kind of like, yes. Right, so, right. So it extends to a functor of like, from like opens in R squared to categories with such that, this guy is an isomorphism if this open inclusion is a homotopy equivalence. And we have extra data of factorization isomorphisms. Okay, so this is like definition number one. Definition number two is C is a E2 algebra in infinity category of categories. Number three, in this case, we need C to be the derived category of some abelian category called E. We have, okay, so the following is going to be the actual definition most people say when they say radiopinoidal. So we have a monoidal structure on E, along with a unit, and a braiding. Okay, so satisfying hex correlations. Okay, so like, if you want to pitch what this like definition one and two are, kind of like either have like finitely many points or maybe like their thickenings into like disks, and you have a copy of this category C above each disk, and this includes data for like, this is like functorial for like inclusions of disks. Okay, so this is like a zero thought. This is like purely operatic definition of Braid Monoidal. So this, yeah. I just showed this definition to you to show that like.
Right. Also, like, using the fact that everything can be stratified, and you can always throw away associators.
Yeah. So this is the extra data you have is there is an associator alpha. And you just have the hexing condition on the nose. And the point is that like in general, this is C is kind of like this data plus like an infinite chain of like higher homotopy data. But the point is that when it's like a derived category, this is like just equivalent to this data which with no extra homotopy stuff like on the heart. Okay. So call an algebra A a quantum group if it satisfies the conditions of the theorem. So A mod is braided. There's lots of variants of this theorem, but like, let's do it. The variant where the forgetful function of vectors is monoidal. If and only if A is a bialgebra so it has a coproduct. And has an R matrix. Or Yambax matrix. So this is an element invertible element in A tends to A, satisfying some identities, and like a. Okay, I'll write this up very carefully for once. Okay. Which measures the failure of almost. So this is an equation in A tends A tends A, with delta is the same thing. If such that if we take delta and we swap the two factors, this is the same thing as conjugating by R. Okay, so this is these two equations imply like the Yang-Baxter equation, which in terms of not braiding, just is an equality of like this thing. So this is the same as this, where R is viewed as like swapping R I J is like swapping I and J factors. Okay. Just so there's like one honest proof in this talk, let's just briefly like go through the sketch proof. So a coproduct delta on A induces a monoidal structure on A mod. So if you have two A modules, then an element in A acts by delta of A. Then conversely, any monoidal structure on A mod makes A tense A into an A module, so it makes A act on this guy, and then you can recover the tensor product by, okay, so A tends A tends A, and do the action map. Okay, and this gives you the bialgebra structure. Likewise, If you have an R matrix, then this thing gives you a braiding. And given beta, this thing is an R matrix. All right. Thank you for bearing with me. OK, so the point, I'm now going to talk about like factorization quantum groups. And the point is just develop the setup so that like any theorem about special R matrices or whatever can be proved in like a similarly brainless way, brainless just follow your nose type proof to this. Okay, so factorization quantum groups. Okay, so. So I'm going to actually continue this definition. So C is braided monoidal if, that's a condition number 4, C extends to a constructible sheaf of categories on the Ron space of R squared, which is a set of finite subset of R squared. Okay, with a decomposition commutative algebra structure. As in, so I'll say what this is in a second. So there's some sort of like algebraic structure on the Ron space. So okay, so Ron R squared is a commutative decomposition space, meaning that it has there's a commutative Mornay map from Ron times Ron to Ron, but it's in a slightly weird category where maps are given by correspondences. Okay, so here is the open locus where we've got two finite subsets which don't intersect. Here's the union map and here's the inclusion. Okay, so this is the definition of commutative decomposition space, giving symmetric monoidal structure, give my push pull. On sheaves on this guy. Okay. And it turns out definition 4 is the thing like generalizes well to our case. So you can replace R squared by any space X. So if X is whether X is like a scheme or topological space, you need to work in like a different category to define Ron. And I'll give you the definition in a second. But the the theorem showing this like this definition is correct is the following: that translation equivariant modules on the Ron space of C with commutative decomposition, commutative algebra. So I'll define this in a second. Structure R vertex algebras. I.e., like the chiral part of the chiral part of a 2D CFT. All right. Great. So I think I'm just going to give you a bunch of theorems about decomposition spaces, and then I'll like descend to generality to talk about when like actually talking about like holomorphic topological things. But I think it's actually clearer to view it in like more generality. So So a space Y has a decomposition structure. If any of the following are equivalent conditions are satisfied. So the first one is that, so Y is is an algebra object, associative algebra object in the category of spaces with correspondences, whatever. So it's just like the category of spaces YI, and then morphisms are given by correspondences. So this is like some like infinity category. And then you can show that like if Y is so-called classical, so it's like this, it's like not derived and only like an R to one stack. So it's like a classical R to one stack, then this thing is equivalent to there is a product and a unit. So the product is and the unit is given by a map from point into Y. Okay. So this is going to be the sort of space that can support like kind of like a monoidal category like spread out over it. Right, so examples. A groups Y equals G, where C is just, this is just the identity and this thing is a multiplication map. Moduli stacks. Y is a moduli stack of objects in abelian category A, where this thing is given by the stack of short exact sequences, like extending these two objects. The diagonal factorization structure given by the diagonal map. This exists on any space. Let's give like an explicit example. So an associative Ron space. So this is going to be the guy that can like support like non-local vertex algebras. So let's call it like E1 Ron space. So it's going to be parameterize ordered finite subsets. Subsets of X. All right. Okay.
So you're saying
what I'm going to say is that like if you consider you need to consider like D modules and you need to consider like factorization algebras over this thing. Well, I mean like it will also be true that if you just take like associative algebras over the normal Ron space. But it's kind of like to consider algebras you only need to work in a background monoidal category. And to work in a background symmetric monoidal category is overkill. And similarly, to define non-local vertex algebras, you only need to work on the associative Ron space. And to work on the Ron space is overkill.
Even the topological version.
Mm-hmm. I do not know the answer to this question. So that's an interesting question, yeah. So like if you presume you can just define the topological space of like ordered finite subsets of X.
That's just a big
Yeah, yeah. So it should agree with it should agree in the case it's one dimensional. Like. Yeah, I agree. Yes, it's kind of unclear what's going on. Okay. So likewise, if let's say C over Y is a sheaf of module categories of Q code Y. So you should view this as like a categorification of O modules. So e.g. C is just Q code itself, D mod, or like, I don't know, like if A is like some chief of algebras, then you consider A modules inside Q code. You can generate lots of examples. Then the following are equivalent, and this is the definition of factorizable, but like decomposition structure on the sheaf of categories. So this guy is an E1 algebra in the category of like spaces with the sheaf of categories over it, and then a morphism is given by where is it? Yeah, morphism is given by correspondence like that. Well, let's label the maps by Q and P. Morphism is given by P2. So there's some infinity category with this property. And number two, the classical case. So if you've got like a sheaf of like, basically like a sheaf of derived categories, this is equivalent to this guy is equipped with a let's call this QMP also. This guy is equipped with a monoidal structure and unit, satisfying which are compatible up to like an associator, satisfying pentagon identity. Okay, so this you should view as like being like a monoidal category like spread out over Y. I'll get to examples in a second. But I think first I'll talk about like factorization braidings, decomposition braidings. So you can do exactly the same. You can do exactly the same definition. You can define like the braided Rant space.
Proposition. Do you also need a coalgebra kind of some kind, like the map called another way?
No. So this is just. This is just like this. If Y is a point, this is just the statement that if you have like a derived category, an E1 structure on this is just the same thing as a literal monoidal structure on the heart. And this is like some like sheafy version of like monoidal structure. Right. And so like maybe I should like say in word before I get to it. Why do you care about having like monoidal structure like spread out over like, you know, Rand sigma or something? It's that you want like some sort of like meromorphic like tensor product in the, like Soibelman. So like a tensor product which like depends on like Z and W. I'll okay, so
I don't know if you like over something.
Right. And so like the usual Rand space is like the colimit over these guys where you like got like symmetric groups acting here.
So in this case, you could come up with Rant space and extrans being line, the order being some respective position. If you just come up with Rant space and extrans, what do you
mean here? What do you mean? You mean it, over here, I'm going to talk about that.
I mean, when you come up with the E2 Rant space.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, maybe this is like, I don't know exactly what to call this.
I'm not concerned with the definition. I just think it looks like there's an equivalent definition.
Uh-huh.
Order. finite subset of all the real numbers?
Yes.
And here, gradient is a finite subset of plane.
Oh.
So why don't you just say the ground space of X times plane?
Okay, this is like an I've got another way that I think one should think about like kind of like Rahn space of like mixed topological holomorphic guys, which I'll say in a second, but like I hadn't considered that this might actually just be another way to do this. Yeah, I'd need to think about this I need to think about this a little bit before I like but like this seems kind of plausible. All right, and so this guy parameterizes like braided finite subsets of X. What does that mean? This just means like you've got the category of, so this category is like still labeled by positive integers, and a map from one positive integer to another is you pick like a distinguished way to like put endpoints in the plane. And, like a braiding, it's just like something like I guess you only consider surjections. So it's something like this. Right, and so. Just as you can show that the ordinary Rahn space, where you consider just like arbitrary finite subsets without any extra data, without ordering or whatever, is like its scheme value points are a set. You can show the scheme value points of this is a one groupoid. Okay, so this is one example of the definition I'm about to give. Another example is if G is a group stack, which is braided commutative. Obviously, if you just have like a group, like SLM, like you can't ask us if it's braided commutative because there's no like two morphisms to give the braiding. Okay, but in this case, you can. All right, so this is examples of what. I'm going to give the definition now. I mean, obviously, like, okay, you can guess what the first part of the definition is. It's going to be like E2 algebra in blah. So let's call this a proposition. So the following are equivalent. So number one is Y is a E2 algebra in the category of spaces of correspondence. And then secondly, again, assuming that Y is classical, like no derived bits and no higher bits beyond like one morphisms. In addition to the correspondence C and the unit, so to the product and unit which we defined up here, we also have a braiding. So it says that like this guy, it's kind of like obvious definition, but like. All right, it's big. So there's this guy, which commutes with Q or Q then swap, P and P. Okay, satisfying. Sorry? Yes, thank you. Satisfying hexagon identities. Right, and then if this is an involution, you can show this is the same thing as like a commutative algebra. And I'll just write down what the result is for categories. So also the following are equivalent. This guy is a wrong E2 algebra in the category of spaces. Chief categories over it. We defined a second ago. And two is that in the classical case, in addition to the above, we we have we have the tensor product, and we're going to now view the braiding as a maybe I should write this as. Okay, so all is a guy here satisfying Hepburn. Hexcombinations. So like this is like some like spread out over this like decomposition spaced version of the braided modal category. Okay, so that's basically like main the main definition of like kind of like sort of background spaces and categories need to be working in. So I'll explicitly. Sorry. This is like why I put like strong here. Strong just means it's invertible. They're similar results. All this just follows from like characterizations of like what is a E2 algebra in like a 2-1 category. And like if you want to consider lax E2 algebras or whatever, then like there are like similar results, but they're just like a pain to write down.
But would it be right to say that you're making some kind of
trade-off center? There is a question you can ask if you have like an E1 factorization category, whether you can take it's like factorization E2 Drinfeld center. I would imagine the answer is yes, but I've not like written it down. All right, so explicitly over each point. So let's consider a point C in the correspondence, which maps to a point Y and Y1, Y2. So like in the group example, this would be G1, G2, G1, G2 maps to G1 times G2. And in the Rahn space example, it would be, I don't know, let's say you take like just a finite subset with like this one point. So Z and W is sent to like Z, the two element set ZW. Okay. So explicitly over the fiber of this, what is like all the stuff I talked about? What explicitly is it? So we have functors. So the factorization modal structure gives you a functor for each guy like this from the fiber of C above Y1 and the fiber of C above Y2 to the fiber of C above Y. Okay, so for groups, what does this mean? You have like some sheaf of categories over G. Then you have like a map from this category, tensor this category, just like just ordinary categories, because you're taking the fiber above a point, maps to C of like G1 times G2. So this is like so it's a multiplicative sheaf of categories when it's a group. Okay, and you also have, I guess, an identity element in C above 1. Okay, and a braiding, let's say above for each point C, have A1 tensed over C with B2. E2 tensored over the monoidal structure attached to the different point of A1, satisfying Hetzkin relations where A1 is in C of Y1, it is in C of Y2. Okay, and this is like the kind of thing you see in like meromorphic tensor products where you've got like the tensor product like Z minus W, like the tensor product of like W minus Z. Okay. Right, so we're getting like things like meromorphic tensor products, like the definition of meromorphic tensor products, just from like completely dumb, just like blah, take some like EN algebra in some category. Okay, so. Okay, let's do some examples. So I'll just like be very explicit. When y is a point, a decomposition cat, and position E2 category, this is like E1. So y of a point, this is just a monoidal. This is just a monoidal category. It's just a braided monoidal category. So if we ignore the space, this stuff just reduces to like the usual theory of just like Yang categories. If you consider Y as an arbitrary space, but we have delta. If we consider Y an arbitrary space and the decomposition structure is given by the diagonal, then this thing is like a sheaf of like fiber-wise monoidal. Categories, i.e. you've got like a map CZ, tensor CZ to CZ. And so like the structure there is like independent of the geometry in Y. So fiber wise braided monoidal. Y equals G is multiplicative. Sheaf of categories. And then this thing is, if it respects the commutativity on the group. Let's say like if y is equal to the runs based on sigma, then this is like a factorization monoidal category or like a braided factorization. Monoidal category. Okay. So all right, so going back to the thing with Kevin said just a second ago. So this might just be like another. The following might just be the same as like. So you can define like obviously like I define braided sets. So it's like the objects are just integers and like the maps like surjections plus like a lift of the surjection to like some lines inside disk times interval. Well, you can do like. You can not just do the two disks. You can do like other things, and then like obviously like these lines can go between them, but homotopies of these lines can't pass between each other. So you can define like EN run space like that too. And maybe the following is just like a version of that. Okay, so so delta viewed as a decomposition EN structure is compatible with any other decomposition structure on Y. So run of sigma with its chiral decomposition structure and the diagonal one can be viewed like substitute for like run of like sigma times Rn. Because like remember that like considering like sheaves on like run of Rn is the same thing as considering like EN algebras. And this thing just means like it's like decomposition category with respect to this structure would just be like a sheaf on run sigma such that fiber-wise it's got the structure of like a decomposition category. I don't know, but like, I don't know how to do like any twisted version of this. Like, if you've got like a 4D manifold of like affiliation by real surfaces. Maybe I should give like other examples of like decomposition spaces. So, for instance, like you can consider the ravioli BD Grossmannian. Okay, which. Whose points consist of like a choice of a finite subset of a Riemann surface, two G bundles, and a trivialization of both G bundles away from this finite subset. So this has two decomposition structures that are compatible, the factorization one, and also the one coming from like the like ravioli correspondence. Okay. Like other examples are like you can get other examples from like just as we define like decomposition categories and so on, we can define like decomposition like algebras, like EN algebras, and define the module categories over them. So if you want to take like if you want to construct like a decomposition EN category, you just take like an EN algebra and you just take EN modules for it, and this will give you something. So this is a way to generate more examples. But okay, now I'll actually get to talking about like what like these quantum groups are. So fixed background. Like braided decomposition category E. Then A, which is an factorization algebra with respect to this thing, is a decomposition quantum group, which I guess we'll just call like a factorization quantum group if the space is the Ron space, if the following is true. So A mod has a decomposition braiding, geometric braiding, if and only if it is a decomposition bialgebra. So it has a co-product in addition to its product. And has an R matrix satisfying same axiom as before and same axiom as before. So some sort of like Yang-Baxter equation and like almost commutativity. I'll write down on fibers what this Yang-Baxter equation gives you though. So these are like the two like hex formulations. So imply the spectral Yang-Baxter equation, which is R13W R23W equals the same thing, but then reversed. All u, v, and w points in y, and I write u, comma v for like a point in c, which like maps to u, comma v. Okay. Right. So like you view this as like these points labeled u, v, and w. Okay. So. All right. So now that you've got this machinery and you've like you've kind of like got this like structure theorem about it, you can apply this to like vertex algebras. So vertex quantum groups. So take background symmetric monoidal category E. Let's say modules over some vertex algebra with extra structure. H is A. Right, so we're going to be working in D modules with the Ron space of C, where H is a commutative vertex bialgebra. Then theorem is like quantum group, like say V is a vertex algebra. So V is H mod. V mod is factorization braided. If V is a vertex bialgebra, product and a coproduct. And we have a op vertex R matrix satisfying some axioms, making this thing almost commutative and measuring the compatibility between y and delta.
Okay. Ask you a
bunch of
so
mm-hmm.
you have your E, what is H?
So H is a can I say at the end?
Oh, so H. E is an object in H mod and you're
yes. So it's like an H linear vertex algebra. All right, so I'll leave this as a sketch, and I'll So I kind of want to talk about, like, sketch how you get examples and, like, some interesting questions you can ask about this. Yeah. And so... Okay, so examples and questions. Oh yeah, and I should maybe say that this is kind of like the structure in like Franklin Vesterteken's like deformed chiral algebras. Is like this sort of structure in this theorem. So this R matrix will like contain like it like measures like so like Y will not like the OPs in Y will not like weakly commute, but they'll like weakly commute up to like Q's in. Like examples of this will be such things. Where you've got like the OPs have like Z minus QW, and then R measures like the failure of this to like actually weakly commute. All right, so examples and questions. Okay, so that's four. So how do you construct examples of quantum groups? So Drinfeld-Jimbo constructed examples, like UH bar of SL2, which is like some explicit like by algebra with like generated relations. And more generally, if G is a simple finite dimensional Lie algebra, UH bar of G. This was generalized by Ettinger and Kasdan to there's a functor. So you could ask like what structures does G have to satisfy to like have such a thing? Turns out there needs to be a Lie algebra. So if it's universal enveloping algebra is like a Poisson Poisson by algebra. So there's a functor which is like a canonical quantization functor from that into quantum groups, which on the level of vector spaces sends G to some deformation of H bar of U of G. Okay. And the proof of this is basically by each semi-simple G has like a has like some favorite Lie bialgebra structure induced by like the structure of simple Lie algebras.
No, it's also a consequence of Fourier.
Yeah, exactly. So the proof of this is concierge formality. So yeah. So the Chevalier-Eilenberg co-chains in this will be a P2 algebra, which then by concierge formality will give you an E2 algebra, and then you do E1 causal duality to get back this guy.
So I guess, so this is not really
fine. No, this is a generalization of this. All right, and so like a natural question, which is like kind of like work in progress, is that like is like vertex Lie by algebra. So there's like a natural functor here. You could ask whether quantum groups.
That's formality.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know the cohomology.
I don't think it's cohomology. If you found the function of finite diagrams in quantum groups, they'll be like.
Well, I'd be very interested in hearing about this. Maybe I'll ask you about this afterwards. right? So, all right, so. Yeah, so this would be like holomorphic topological. Yeah, 4D.
Okay,
there is formality.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. So I mean, like, I'm kind of just hoping that.
Yes, so it should follow the direction of this formality.
Like, I mean,
for all issues, something.
Like, so the sketch in my head is just like literally like on RAN of this thing. There's like two. Like you're considering like vertically of algebra, so it's like a Lie algebra, Lie star algebra with respect to like the star like product on D modules on RAN space, and there's also just like ordinary tensor product of D modules. You take a bi algebra with respect to this, and then like I don't know, like maybe there's just like formality literally for just E2, but like I don't know, there's an issue about it not being like a lax thing because you've got like two different tensor products. So I've not checked whether like, but like it's not, I don't know. You could see what you would have to check to like define this thing. And like ideally what you'd do is that there like much like there's a function from like simple Lie algebras to this guy, there's also a function from like simple Lie algebras to one would hope there'd be a function from simple Lie algebras to this guy. And that like giving this thing would like maybe be like a systematic way to go from like V like VKH bar of G. Like whose algebra of like modules should be like line operators in 4D theory, but yeah, this is a question mark. Number two of like an example where this sort of structure shows up is like algebras of BPS states, which is kind of where I started thinking about this thing. So maybe I'll draw like an analog. So you have UQ of n. can I have like three more minutes? Great, thank you. So if you take M is like the moduli of like objects in like a Clavier 3 category, okay, so formally mathematically this has actually only been defined for like if you take the canonical bundle into Clavier 2, then there's like the following structure. So an analog of like UQ of M, analog of UQ of T and analog of N is, so analog of UQ of T is like the homology of this guy with direct sum map holdback, and there's like some like holomorphic vertex algebra structure. Next thing is like the standard story about cohals when you take like the Joy sheaf, you take the dual like homology of the Joy sheaf. This has dual cohal structure. It's Joy's vertex algebra structure. All right. And so this thing forms a, this is kind of like H here. This forms like a co-commutative vertex quantum groups. It's like kind of like generic thing. But then you can choose, much like you choose like rep QT, you can choose like an R matrix, like a spectral R matrix here. And then this guy is almost commutative bi-algebra inside rep of this guy. Like when I say bi-algebra, I mean like factorization in bi-algebra. So this thing is a E2, E1. So almost commutative. This is almost commutative, and this is just I'll just write it. So it's an E2 algebra, E1 co-algebra inside this guy. Inside modules for this guy with cut product. Okay, and then n, the analog of n. So this is called like, I don't know, this is called like, the analog of n should probably be, this is kind of also like work in progress on a different project. There's this like BPS Lie algebra studied by Davidson and people in Edinburgh quite a lot. So this guy, one might expect it's a, like a vertex Lie bi-algebra who's like chiral enveloping thing is, it gives you back this. Okay, and then like when people study cohars, they often consider things like constructing the double of this guy, which I know is like important for various reasons, but it's done like a kind of ad hoc way. And you could kind of wonder, like rep UQG, so this is not exactly correct, but this is something like the double, Drinfeld double of you take UQN mod inside rep QT. And you could wonder like whether you could just like reconstruct this double of like the algebra BPS states, kind of just using like formal stuff. Okay, and I have two last kind of speculative things to say.
Does this work for any figure or for schematic figures only? This works with the Young and all of that.
So
non-symmetric
figures. I'm not quite. So here, the Clapeyard 2 category would be like modules for the pre-projective algebra, and then you'd take like the associated triple quiver, or whatever. So do you mean like? Do you mean?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so but it is. Well,
there's two different things. There's the cohort of the one-dimensional category rep Q, and there's the cohort of the two-dimensional category like rep of the pre-projective algebra. And like in constructing the pre-projective algebra, you like symmetrize the quiver. So I'm not sure which one you mean.
I mean the one we take out of the
quiver
potential.
Yeah,
he's looking at the special
case of potentials in the linear. And it's symmetric. Thanks. The quiver potential is symmetric. But yeah, like be like the doubling of the quiver.
Yes. I mean there's always a doubling of C.
I'll say like two kind of like more kind of like dumb speculative things. So like remember that like there was like if you have any braided monoidal category and any object in it, you get a knot invariant. So like you can obviously ask if C is a braided factorization category. Over the Rahn space of this guy. Does this give, and let's say V is like a section of this guy. Do we get an invariant, it's called tau V of K? Where K is like, okay, so K should be something like a one-dimensional manifold inside R squared times C, but modulo holomorphic homotopies. So like homotopies, this is just like a guess, but like, a homotopy such that the like so a homotopy is just a map from the S1 times interval to this guy, and then S1 times 0 and S1 times 1 of the starting and ending knots. You could ask, this is the annulus, so it has a complex structure, and you could ask that like the projection to C is holomorphic.
So then the projection to C should be constant.
Sorry?
I think projection to C should be constant. Also, you learn the problems because.
I see. Right, I see. So, can I talk to you about this afterwards? Maybe
we should officially wrap up.
Yes. All right.
Questions?
Yes. Yeah, thanks very much for listening.
So you said you had another wild speculation?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, you... It's kind of like a dumb speculation, but, like... I mean, like, you could wonder like if you constructed this guy like there's like two different things you could do to it. You take a Zhu algebra, which should give you like U of okay. Let's say this is like you find a way to like turn it into like a something of a C bracket Q key inverse. You take the Zhu algebra, UQ of G if you can define some Zhu algebra, and you can like set Q equals 1, giving you like VK of G. And you notice like these are the two things appearing on both sides of like Cash and Lustig. And so I was wondering if like there's like some like physics explanation of like why this might be the case, and like if there's like some explanation of, so like there's some like recent proof by Chen and Fu of the Cashel and Lucid correspondence by considering like the Riemann-Hilbert functor from like algebraic Dirac, like on the Dirac side, like algebraic factorization categories of the Dirac space, and this is like topological factorization categories of the Dirac space of the associated analytic variety or analytic surface. Mm. And like you could ask like whether like there's like this kind of like holomorphic topological guy like sitting above the Riemann-Hilbert functor. I don't know. So I guess that's like very speculative point number four in brackets.
Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
So K is the surface, right? Like,
sorry?
K there? 0.3 on that side?
Well, So point three is basically just like, it's just like kind of like the idle question of like, okay, so like what's like the correct analog of like Reshti contrived invariance?
In
4D. And like, I mean like, given that like rep of like Yang Yin or whatever, like line operators, presumably it should like be attached to actual lines. But isn't this like a 3D TQFT thing? Isn't that like a 3D TQFT thing, the Jones invariant?
That's right. You work on what Jones means. It's super
flexible. Yeah. Right. I think this probably like answers the question then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So you gave an equivalent definition of point being greater than idle. So I was just thinking, like in this, I thought you were gonna write down like the whole construction with the Dirac space of like 3D manifold of the holomorphic voltage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say you do that.
So the issue is I don't know what cache key to work in. Like I'm very happy. Like I do not know of like a theory of like holomorphic topological manifolds. I don't even know like a theory. Oh, I guess so. So can you just define the Dirac space of a like whole, like an al, like what would it be? Like you start off with like some like algebra, you start off with a guy in this category which is like algebraic in two directions, and okay, maybe you can just do this.
You could do this working out in two directions and ask for some strong invariance property of your quantum in one direction. But I think you can also treat one copy of C in the same way that Hurwitz does. It's purely an optimal theory. Treat the other copy of C.
But this is when it's a product. Yeah. I think when it's a product, I'm more happy. But I feel a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. Wait. So is it true for the topological Dirac space that it's just the co-limit of x to the n's?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's true, then like. Okay. Oh right. Yeah. So the issue would be how to define it. So you could define the space run on whatever some Fourier. Well, the problem is sheaves. Right, I see. And then this is like not being done. Okay.
It doesn't seem like we haven't seen it done, but I mean, it seems like that's literally what you're doing in these papers. It's just sort of that's what's called.
Okay, so people have not just done it just like because no one's been interested to write it, as opposed to.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And that should naively respond to E2 and Kuga, right?
E2 and what, sorry?
E2 algebra and Kuga, like operator mode and Kuga.
Like.
That should happen.
Wait, does your E2 or your 2-cat come from the holomorphic direction?
But yeah, it seems like you would add a dimension, you should add a categorical number. That's what I expect, but...
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other questions?